Jeremiah is called a weeping prophet. If you'll turn there with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 gives us an exact time frame when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning Israel. Jeremiah was a special prophet that God used to tell the nation of Israel to cooperate with the Babylonian captivity that was coming. We read about that in the book of Daniel. Daniel was one of those taken captive and raised there. Jeremiah was given the word of the Lord that this would be a 70-year captivity, and after that the Lord would release Israel and bring them back. We find that story in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah as they went back and rebuilt the temple and reassembled in Jerusalem, built the walls around the city in Nehemiah's day. And so Jeremiah is preaching to the people a message they don't want to hear. He's trying to call them back to God and warn them and tell them what they should do, and they are rejecting his message. Verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Verse 1 through 3 gives us the pinpoint time frame in the years of these kings that reigned. And so we know exactly when Jeremiah's prophecy took place. And if you look over at chapter 8 with me, in verse number 18, God's warning to them, he said in verse 18, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask you to guide me, direct what I say, help me to be a blessing and a help to your people. If there's anyone here who does not have a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today they would have an understanding of your great love for them, of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary for us all to pay for our sins, and how you've provided salvation for us through him to receive the Lord as our own personal Savior. He died for us, and we thank you for that. We ask your blessings on all who hear today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're looking at the warning. I picture this at the ending of a year. He's saying the summer is coming on and we're still not saved. We're not delivered. This has not changed our circumstance. And we live from year to year waiting for the Lord to return to heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're waiting to be delivered also. Galatians says we're to be delivered from this present evil world in which we live. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. So we're waiting also. The summer has come and gone, and we are not yet saved. We are not yet delivered. The judgment of God was going to come upon Israel in this captivity, and the people did not want to hear the message that Jeremiah was bringing to them. We today try to call a nation that was once very strong in the Christian faith, but has changed drastically over a 100-year period of time, and we're trying to call that nation back to a walk with God, and the majority of our world outside our Christian churches do not want to hear the message that we are giving. We are looked upon as enemies. We're looked upon as judgmental. We're looked upon as that we don't have any patience with people. And what we're simply trying to do is get the unsaved people to see Christ as their Savior and repent of their sins, believe on the Lord, and turn from their wicked ways. In chapter 2 of the book of Jeremiah, he said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou went after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they're gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, and land of drought and of the shadow of death, through the land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt? And I brought you unto a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children. Jeremiah makes it very clear that there was a time in Israel's past where they walked with God, where they followed the Lord. You see, when they were in the adversity of the Egyptian bondage, and God delivered them by the blood of the Lamb and took them across the Red Sea, in the wilderness they were dependent upon God, and God supplied their every need. For the whole 40 years that they were in the wilderness, God supplied their needs in miraculous ways. And during that time, they were following God. They had some obedience to God. They had righteousness in their lives. They knew that God was their provider and God was their protector. But when they got in the land of prosperity, they turned away from the Lord. They forgot God. They didn't ask the question, where is the Lord? When our lives get wicked and sinful and evil, when America gets to the point that it can depend on itself and not depend on God, nobody's saying, where's the Lord? Nobody's asking the question, why is not God among us? Why don't we have a close relationship with the Lord anymore? It's because of our sin. It's because we've separated from God. It's because we're dependent on our wealth instead of being dependent on the Lord who provides those things for us. So there's a great comparison between Israel and America in these things. Our lifespan is given with the church today to call the nation back to God, to call out against evil, to call God's people to repent of sin and turn back to the Lord. We don't have a national spokesman today like Israel had in that day where Jeremiah could speak to the nation. We don't have anybody calling the nation to repentance. Our leaders are calling our nation to accept homosexuality. Our leaders are calling our nation to accept a Hollywood lifestyle as acceptable and common, and not to speak against it in any way. And we have no national spiritual spokesman that is crying out for people to turn back to God before it's too late and to repent of sins, and telling people, God wants you to come to Him. You can be forgiven. You don't have to die under judgment. You can find the Lord and have His peace. Chapter 9 and verse number 1, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And this is the reason. He wept over his nation because they wouldn't turn to the Lord, because they wouldn't obey, because they turned away from God. He said, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Now verse 2 says Jeremiah really wanted to separate himself from Israel. Oh, that I had a place in the wilderness where I'd go dwell. Every time I think of somebody doing something like that, I think of that great spiritual teacher, Andy Griffith, who... on the Andy Griffith Show, had a fellow named Ernest T. Bass. And Ernest T. Bass said, if I can't find me a woman, I'll just go and hermitize myself in a cave somewhere. Well, that's kind of what Jeremiah was saying. I want to go hermitize myself. I want to go out and dwell in the wilderness somewhere by myself, just leave everything. I don't want to see what's happening in our land. I don't want to see the sinful things and the abominations before God. And I don't want to see that God has to bring judgment upon my people. He wept and he prayed over them. Jesus was called Jeremiah because he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over sin. He wept at the tomb where Lazarus was. People think he was weeping because Lazarus was his friend and he was dead. Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wasn't weeping over Lazarus. He was weeping over the unbelief of the people who did not recognize he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he was called the weeping prophet too. They accused, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Well, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say that you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And praise God, he had that understanding. Like God said to Samuel in his day, "It is not you they have rejected as a prophet, it is me they have rejected and my ruling over them." In 1 Samuel 8, verse 1 through 9, when Israel wanted a king, and God gave them Saul, they were rejecting God as their ruler. They wanted a king to be like the other nations. Still part of the problem in the world today is that people want to be like others without the spiritual influence. They want what others have. They want to be like others without thinking about the long-range effects. For 40 years, Jeremiah calls Israel to turn back to God. For 35 and a half years, I've been here as the pastor of this church, preaching the Bible the whole time, and I've seen the change in our society, and I say we've done the same thing. We've wept over our nation, we've prayed for our nation, we've tried to call our nation back to repentance, but America goes deeper and deeper into sins, just as Israel did, moral corruption. They look to anyone and anything except turning back to God, which is where they need to go. First of all, today, I point out to you from chapter 2, verse 4 through 8, that the nation has turned away from God and no one's questioning, where is the Lord? God had blessed them, provided for them a land of plenty in verse number 8. They had spiritual leaders, but these spiritual leaders were not questioning, you know, why has God left us? Why do we not have the power of God? Why are we not righteous as we once were? The spiritual leaders were without God. He said there were those who knew the law, but they didn't know God. And that's part of the problem all the way up through Jesus' time, is that those people used the law instead of knowing the Lord. They didn't have a heart for God. They simply used the law as a legal thing to get their way and to prosecute others. They had turned from God, and they had stood and he proclaims to them the word of the Lord, calling them back to repentance and calling them to come back to God before it's too late. The ministry had become a profession for pastors and prophets and priests, and it was something for them to make a living out of and not have a calling from God to serve and be obedient to the Lord. They wanted to tell people what they wanted to hear so they could get paid, not tell them what God says from His Word. We live in a day where it is still like that today. Folks can build up a ministry because a man will tell them what they want to hear. And believe me, every preacher that preaches the Bible feels at times either like Jeremiah, where he wants to preach so hard that nobody can possibly live up to the standard and they end up running people off from their churches. They become so separatist that nobody can live up to their standard. Or you come to the point where you're just tired of preaching and people not wanting to hear it. Preaching the things that people don't want. You want to tell them what they want to hear. But there is a calling from God that we must preach what the Bible says, what God says. Whether folks want to hear it or not, it's imperative that we give out the Word of God. Jeremiah was looked upon as a traitor to his people. And it was in the days like Ezra when the foundation of the temple was laid, when they rebuilt the temple after the captivity, when the people saw the foundation laid, the young men shouted for joy. "Hey, we got a temple of God being built." The old men wept because the temple they were building in that day had no comparison to Solomon's temple that God had used Solomon to build in its greatness and its glory. They said, "This is small, this is dinky, this is nothing compared to what we had before." The young men had never seen the temple. They didn't know that. And so they were excited that they were getting a temple built. And today a lot of folks are excited about religious things, but it's in a shallow way. It's in a little way. It's not in a spiritual way, because they've never really seen the hand of God work in the hearts of people and save souls and change lives. Now, for those of you scholars out there who already know, you're ahead of me, that God said the glory of that temple would be greater than the glory of Solomon's temple. And the reason for that is that's the temple that Jesus would step into and cleanse when He came upon the earth. But the emphasis there is that the elders wanted the glory of God in the Solomon's temple, and the young men had never seen that, and so they rejoiced at the foundation of the temple. And today, we live in a time frame where if people have religion, they'll accommodate a little of it. The world allowed us to have Christmas, but they're trying to change it all the time. They want us to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. They want us to take Christ out of Christmas. They want us to take religion out of the public arena. Don't put up a manger scene on the town square anymore and things of that nature. Take down the cross from a cemetery. Who ever heard of such a ridiculous thing? Well, we live in an age where it is like that. Velma, you let me preach now, okay? In chapter 2, verse 13, the people have forsaken God and the truth, and they've made themselves a false hope. They found satisfaction in their own way of doing things. Their government leaders were against Jeremiah, and they wanted him dead. In chapter 26 and verse 7 through 11, the Bible says they called for him all of the people that heard his message. And all of their leaders at that time wanted Jeremiah dead. Fortunately, the princes came to hear what was being said from the king's palace. And when the princes of the tribes of Israel came and heard it, they said, "This man should not die. He's done no more than the prophets of old, who has told the people what they didn't want to hear, that they needed to turn to God and believe in the Lord." And we live in a day like Jeremiah's, where we plead with folks to turn back to God and repent of their sins, and they despise us for it. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5 through 6, second point this morning. The problem of backsliding. In chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushed into battle." In verse number 12, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Israel lost its ability to be ashamed. They lost their ability to blush. I say to you, we live in a day and time where people are talking about coming out of the closet, and states are passing laws to provide marijuana and all of these kind of things, and people doing this stuff out in public. What about God? Have they lost their knowledge of God? Have they lost their ability to blush at their sin? Have they lost their ability to be ashamed for what they've done? I say to you, an awful lot of people have in this day and time in which we live. In chapter 8 and verse 20, he said they'd come to the end of another year. The Lord has not yet delivered them from this present evil world. And we weep, but it gets worse. People aren't ashamed of the wrong they're doing. They justify it to themselves. They've lost their ability to blush. In chapter 8 and verse number 22, God is making it clear to Israel constantly with Jeremiah's message, when he warns them, when he preaches against sin, when he calls them to repent. He's saying, if you'll turn, if you'll come back to me, if you'll repent of your sins, and I will bless you, and I will be your God, and I will serve you and provide for you. The power to change and heal and restore is in God, not in the things of this world. And Jeremiah's day made it clear to them, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then are my people not healed? Why are they not taken care of? And why are people not saved today? Why are they not right with God today? Because they won't come to the Lord and repent of their sins and turn away from evil and be saved. Have we failed to weep and pray as a church, as a Christian people? I'm sure we could have wept more. I'm sure we could pray more. I'm sure we could preach more. But I don't believe the problem is in that. I don't think we failed in preaching and proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." I know this pulpit has not failed for 35 years to preach the Word of God. But I'm not a national spokesman. I don't have the opportunity to preach to the world. If I did, I probably wouldn't have lived any longer than John the Baptist did when he told the king, "It's not right for you to have your brother's wife." And she got his head took off. Or is the problem, as in Jeremiah's day today, people have turned from God and the Bible and they despise those who warn them about the truth of what is to come? When will our deliverer come? We're about to step into 2015 in a couple of days. Will this be the year that Jesus comes? I say to you to remember, today could be the day that Jesus comes. We can't know the day nor the hour, but we should always be ready because it could happen at any time. That's called the imminent return of Christ. I think always of that song at the new year and the end of the year of, what if this would be the year that Jesus comes? The year that we've been waiting for so long. We'd have so little time to get our lost world won if this would be the year that Jesus comes. And then it says, what if this would be the day? And then it says, what if this would be the hour that Jesus comes? The hour we've been waiting for so long. We'd have so little time to get our lost world won if this would be the hour that Jesus comes. Constantly as Christian, we need to be reminded and motivated to help people, warn people, tell them, friend, their house is on fire, it's burning, they need to come to God and have as people say in modern lingo today, they need to come to Jesus meeting real quick before it's forever too late. Thirdly, Jeremiah was only human. He was a prophet of God, he was filled with the Spirit, he gave the Lord's message to the people. But he had the temptation because of how they treated him. He really wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. Turn over to Jeremiah 20. Pashur is the governor, the chief governor of the house of the Lord in that day. And Jeremiah pronounced the doom upon Judah and also upon Pashur himself. If he didn't repent, that God would take away his position, take away his family into captivity. He would lose all of his wealth to the nation of Babylon. And that was going to happen. They were going to destroy the temple. They were going to take all the gold and the silver and all the vessels from the house of God. And they took them down to Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And for 70 years they were going to be in captivity. Verse 5 and 6, he warned him that he would lose his wealth and his standing and his family be taken captive. In verse 7 through 9, he calls upon him to hear. I'll make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem as place. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 20, verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I wanted to quit, but I couldn't quit. I felt like God had deceived me. Lord, you called me into the ministry. You gave me a message to preach, but nobody wants to hear the message. They hate me for preaching what I'm preaching. And Jeremiah was weak as a human being, and he wanted to give up. He wanted to quit. But he couldn't quit because the word of the Lord was in him like a fire burning. He had to speak the word of the Lord. Now, friends, I say to you today that as a Christian, You got unsaved family. You got unsaved neighbors. You got people you've witnessed to dozens of times. You've invited to church over and over again, and people reject what you're saying, or they don't want to listen to what you have to say. We cannot quit. We must not quit. We must keep on. We must speak out. We must be the light in darkness for those who do believe, for somebody to tell them the way to come to Christ and be saved. All they have to do is repent of their sin and turn to God, and He can put them on the straight and narrow path and make provision for them. In Jeremiah chapter 21, in verse number 8, He said, "Unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before ye your way of life and the way of death." And Jeremiah was also called to bring a message to the king. The kings who reigned in his day. In chapter 22 and verse 1 through 5, he brought a message to the king. In chapter 30 and verse 10 through 11, he preached about the return after the 70 years of captivity. The king should know that God will bring you back after the 70 years. So you're to cooperate with this captivity. So if you run down to other nations, you'll be destroyed. And in chapter 36, Jeremiah wrote a prophecy of the Lord, the book of Jeremiah. God gave him the message to write. He writes a message. But when the message gets to the king through his leaders, he takes a knife. After he reads a passage, he cuts it out of the scroll and puts it into fire. And I say to you, that's what many of the world have done with the Word of God today. They've just cut out the parts they don't like. They refuse to hear the whole counsel of the Word of God. They've rejected the passages that call them to repentance, or that point out their sin, or that tell them what they do not want to hear. Now, there were even still some in that day who tried to persuade the king not to do this, knowing the danger. But he refused to hear them. God's judgment in the end times will come. Whether the world wants to hear it or whether they reject the message, it doesn't change anything. It's still going to come. It's imperative you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, my friends, and you're gambling with your soul if you're putting off coming to the Lord. Know God. Know Him today. Live for Him and serve Him. It is the best way to live your life. In our age and time where America is changing more and more in their moral decay and less as a Christian nation, we need to call people back as Jeremiah did to come to the Lord before it's too late. Let's stand together, please. Father, we've come to the end of another year, and there are many that are still not saved. I have people in my family related to me who don't know the Lord, and I pray for them today. Probably every family here represented has someone like that. About every family is touched with cancer and touched with loved ones dying and touched with those who don't know the Lord and who have no time for the Bible or church or spiritual things. And Father, it's only by the grace of God that we have come to Christ and found a desire to love You and serve You. Help us to set the right example with our lives. Help us to turn away from any sin and wickedness that would deter people coming to Christ, and help us to live the Christian life in the right way. Now bless You people today, I pray. All who hear My voice, may they truly understand You love them and You want them to come to You. You want men to be saved, and You gave Your Son to die in their place so they can have eternal life. Help us now to believe that and call people to come in Jesus' name. Amen.